Tomorrow, officials of the Academy of American Poets will meet in New York to discuss restructuring the organization. The meeting comes in the wake of charges that the Academy is elitist and racist in the selection of its Board of Chancellors. The Academy is America's leading poetry organization, and the Board of Chancellors includes some of this country's best-known poets. Rebecca Presson Mosby reports.
The uproar at the Academy was started by novelist Fred Vibon. Vibon, who is married to poet Rita Dove, says he was furious that in its 64-year history, the Academy of American Poets has never elected a non-white chancellor. The Academy has 12 chancellors. All are recognized poets who represent the Academy's public face and vote on the fellowships and awards it gives, including the Tanning Prize, this country's most lucrative literary award. So, last February, Vibon sent an open letter to the Academy and about 50 other writers. In it, he calls the chancellors 12 masses running the house and asks, what kind of inane pseudo-intellectual Jim Crow arguments were brought forth to keep this bastion of rarefied wordsmiths free from the dark forces?
Since I'm married to a black poet, you know, I often participate or at least sit in discussions black writers have. And I'd heard these grumblings quite often. And I didn't see any reason to go to them, to Stanley Kunitz or anybody else, and ask them privately. I thought after such a long history of neglect, I should immediately go public and see how they would react.
No one from the Academy responded to Vibon's diatribe, not even the man to whom it was addressed, Stanley Kunitz, a 92-year-old chancellor emeritus with a long history of defending civil rights.
I decided not to respond to it, since I thought its tone was rancorous, degrading even, in its tone, not in its substance, because I thought there was some serious matter to be discussed.
Eventually, so did a lot of other people. When Vibon's letter and a background article he wrote were published in the literary magazine International Quarterly last summer, there was a sudden rush of responses. They included a series of news articles and letters in the trade magazine Poets and Writers. In one letter, Board President Jonathan Galassi and Executive Director William Wadsworth defended their academy. But now Galassi admits that electing chancellors by mail-in ballot may be a mistake.
I think that it would have been a good idea to have had a broader base a long time ago. The system of election by ballots tends to work towards a consensus decision, that is, things fall to the middle, whereas if you'd gotten the people in a room together, they might have arrived at more creative decisions than they've made.
There are no meetings. There are no debates. I've never been in the same room with the other 11 chancellors.
The last and only time the group met since its founding was in 1994, 2 years before poet Maxine Cumin was elected chancellor. That meeting came in response to charges that the lifetime terms the chancellors then enjoyed meant there were few opportunities to nominate fresh voices. As a result of the meeting, chancellors' terms were limited to a maximum of 24 years. Although that may still seem a long time, 6 chancellors have retired since 1994. While their replacements have included 3 women, Maxine Cumin points out that the makeup of the chancellorship remains largely unchanged.
If you look at the composition of the Board of Chancellors, you'll see that they're almost all East Coast poets, and they are mostly white males, and they are mostly well along in years, shall we say, long in the tooth. And we just don't feel this represents American poetry.
In November, after several attempts to nominate an African-American woman for a chancellorship, Cumin and poet Carolyn Kaiser resigned. They did so without consulting the other chancellors, and this led to angry responses. Mona Van Dyne also resigned in protest, apparently over the actions of Cumin and Kaiser. Chancellor John Hollander calls the Cumin and Kaiser resignations cowardly. Hollander says the women should have discussed their concerns with the other chancellors, but he adds that the race of a nominee should never be up for discussion.
The idea that someone's color or gender would enter into a decision of how good the person's work is so obscene a suggestion that I don't know begin how to talk about it.
3 black American poets contacted for this story, Gwendolyn Brooks, Lucille Clifton, and Rita Dove, all declined to be interviewed. While no one except Fred Vibon has openly accused the chancellors of racism, Stanley Kunitz says they are out of touch with contemporary America.
I think that poetry has become so largely an academic discipline that is isolated to a large degree from the struggle of human beings and from their needs. It is a lack of imagination, which is a curious charge to make against poets.
But John Hollander says the current discussion has nothing to do with Academy founder Marie Bullock's goal of representing a full spectrum of, in her words, literary persons of the highest standing. While Hollander says there are a couple of African-American writers he might nominate for chancellor, he contends there isn't much quality work coming from non-white poets today.
I expect there will be, but that may be at a time when minority writers are no longer interested in being considered minorities, but being considered simply part of the great diverse American population. This is a matter of politics. It's not a matter of aesthetics so much.
In a letter to the magazine Poets and Writers, Japanese-American poet David Mura says this discussion is about aesthetics. Mura writes that non-white poets are often marginalized by white writers through the creation of aesthetic criteria that stress certain types of language and form while discounting political work. Overcoming the Academy's problem, says Chancellor Richard Howard, may require a change in its fundamental structure.
If the Academy feels that representative kinds of poets are more important in its membership than distinction and excellence of poetry, it's possible that the organization no longer calls for chancellors. That may be an elitist perspective, which, by the way, I thoroughly warrant and certify, but it has no longer a function in the Academy as it is now looming.
The fate of the chancellors of the Academy of American Poets lies with its board of directors, which last month passed a resolution supporting diversity in the Academy. Tomorrow's meeting is the beginning of a process that will include taking opinions from poets across the country. The board will make a final decision in March. For NPR News, I'm Rebecca Presson-Mosby.